Hey, beloved Queens family. Welcome back. Today is an extremely monumentous day because one of our queens is celebrating her birthday. This queen means more to me than she would ever understand. She's been a friend, a best friend, a godmom to my kids. She's been there for me in the worst of times and even in the best of times. And so I want to honor today Queen Veronica. Guys, everybody needs a ride or die like her. She's the girl who's gonna get in your face if you're wrong. She's the girl who's gonna get in your face if you're afraid and pull you out of it. She's the girl who has your back no matter what. And today I wanna honor her. We're gonna sing happy birthday to Queen Veronica, because she is truly a beloved queen. So when you're from Jamaica but you live in America, you have two versions of happy birthday. I'm gonna start with Jamaican style. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Queen Veronica. Happy birthday. The kids are going to join in and sing.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back to the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matheson with my ladies, Claudia Lewis, everybody calls Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray. Ready, queens?
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Self-discovery is a very important piece of the pie when it comes to giving and receiving love in any relationship, right? And in today's discussion, we want to pick up from where we left off last week. We discussed, marrying well and why it is important to marry well. And we discussed, our experiences. If you have not listened to last week's episode, please go back and listen to it. It's very, very enlightening when it comes to dealing with the various differences in starting out your relationship and then growing in your relationship. So we discuss things, our mistakes that you don't have to make. So some people, Queen V, they have never learned to love themselves. I too was guilty of this.
If you don't love yourself, how are you going to expect somebody to love you? Or are you going to entertain love? You can't receive love if you don't know how to love yourself.
And you also don't know how to love other people if you don't know the basic steps. How do you find love? How do you find joy? How do you show love? And then the person that you're with, how do they show love? They show love differently from you. It's not the same. They get love differently from you. It's just not the same. You are married to someone that's completely opposite from you. Newsflash.
Not the same.
Completely opposite.
Hello.
Yeah, but you have, yeah, some people married the yin and the yang, right? But some people married that they think they marry somebody who is just like them. And it might sound odd, but
how is the person going to be just like you? There's only one you.
If you marry somebody just like you and you're having problems, self-love is not there.
You would love that. You would love yourself.
You are not liking your mirror.
I'm confused by that sometimes. They're like, oh, we're just alike. Then why? What's the issue?
I am not aware of anyone who has married someone who is just like them. I don't know any couple like that.
Me either.
They're out there.
I've heard it. Oh, we're just alike. And I'm like, huh?
I've yet to meet a couple like that. I'm yet to meet it. We've been around married people from Brooklyn all the way down to Atlanta, and I've never personally witnessed that. It's always this person who is so extroverted and an introvert. It's always somebody who is like, you know, talkative and friendly, and the other person is like,
well, two opposites.
But they claim it though. Yeah, people claim it.
No, you know what I hear people talk about is that, oh, we don't argue. And I remember I was on We Don't Argue team until I realized that's a problem. If you and someone don't argue, that is an issue, people. There's no way that you're coming from two different backgrounds, two different upbringing, everything about you guys did not grow up together in the same household. How is it that you guys gonna have the exact same everything, values, personality? There's no way. So I used to be like, yeah, oh, we don't have those kind of issues. We weren't having issues because somebody wasn't being real. Because that's how you find out, are you being authentic in your relationship?
You see, when me, they just married, I refused to argue. So I was that person. Let me tell you that right now.
Oh, wait, you didn't put my team to Tina.
Really? Team don't argue.
Oh, mamma, yeah, yours.
Here's why. When I got married, all right, it's before me did married. Take a rig, tear down, pop down, everything bad mood has talked about. Because I was like a really hurt person. So I would, you know, you try to sabotage your relationship because you just think you're going to live. But when I got married, what changed my perspective was you go to marriage counseling. And one of the marriage counseling, I end up going to guys. Yes, it was a Jewish marriage counseling session. So after my hubby proposed, I remember saying to God, oh boy, I wish I could just learn God's original intent for marriage. Because guys, if you know me, Veronica will tell you, Queen Trina will tell you, naturally my strength is that I'm a learner. I'm the kind of person that thinks there's always a way to learn something you don't know, right? I graduated from Brooklyn College. It's a Jewish school and in Brooklyn. And I got a call one day from a lady in their community. She needed a student to film something for her. I didn't know what it was. And to my surprise, when I called her, she has a production company, but she was kind of booked out. And she was basically looking for a student to film, listen to these people, a 12-week course about how to be a good wife and mother. And of course, I jumped at it. You can't believe it, people. Here I am, a non-Jewish person, filming a pilot course of wife coaches going over the ins and outs of marriage. Some of the topics included this, and I'll go over it a little quickly. How to take care of yourself as a woman. Relationships with external family members, from mother-in-law to whatever. Understanding and studying the difference between male and female, because truly we're really, really very different. Healthcare, including mental health and access to therapists if things go sideways, like domestic violence or emotional abuse. Self-care, how to care for your mind, how to care for your body, how to care for your soul. Basic home economics, like, you know, and managing your finances, how to balance checkbooks, those type of stuff. I also learned one very spiritual thing that stays with me till this day, that the Hebrew word for man and the Hebrew word for woman, Ish and Isha, when you combine it, it spells God. That for me was mind-blowing. That, you know, like a community is so well-structured when it comes to giving wives this kind of support. So literally, as soon as a young woman is engaged for them, she has a coach to guide her through the ups and the downs of marriage, so that even till this day, right now, I still take tips and lessons from them. And one of the things I got from the Jewish Council was, your words are powerful in your relationship, and they have the power to make your husband or break him. So in the beginning of my marriage, I would not argue. Because when I get mad and I'm in my emotions, I felt I could say something that I could not be able to take back. So me, not say what I feel at all. I just hold it in, figure out how to process it, and then when I can come say it in an intellectual way, so I come say it, we just break it down, because I just never want to break my husband. Now, when me in my emotions, I know I can do that. So I was on that team, girl, where I was just like, I'm not for arguments. But at the same time, you're stewing on the inside because you're like, you're not really being vulnerable. You understand what I'm trying to say?
You're not.
You're not being vulnerable because you again, it's like, okay. Whatever you say, honey. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, Tina. Yes, I see, we did not play upon the same team. With a Bill and Ed feel. So what I'm Veronica.
Me?
Veronica, what are you?
Fear Mountain Giant Church.
I'm out down Giant Church.
But you're locked down.
I would lock down, but I'm a reactor. So it's like I before I process, I'm very quick. I'm very reactive and very quick. So if I am extremely hurt, this is how you know I'm extremely hurt, is if I'm not saying anything. But me not have that problem, I argue with you. I have no problem. I'm very quick on it. Very quick. Like, listen, if you say A, me say B, C, D, E, F, G, and wait for your comeback and come back again.
But see ya.
But... I will shut down for weeks.
Wow. See, then
I'm adding the S again.
Weeks.
It's just, everybody, I guess, have that, you know, that difference on how them approach things. And again, it goes back to how we were raised, what was our mirror? What did we see in front of us? You know, what did we see portray in front of us? As much as they probably weren't saying it, it was more actions. It's what we take away.
And again, they were doing the best they could with what they have. But what they were doing is giving us a pattern for how we handle conflict. You know what I'm saying?
That's
it was just, and some people are afraid of confronting conflict.
Indirect.
And I think that was probably what I was, you know? I was a little bit afraid of feeling like conflict. To me felt like, oh my gosh, it might end up with your perfect situation blowing up. Well, we learned, remember one time we learned in our queen thing that you can, this thing called carefrontation, where you can have confrontation, but you don't have to go below. Remember,
right,
we learned about
fear.
That?
You can't fight. Yeah, you can't fight fear.
Right, hit below the belt.
You don't have to, and we were trained, even as girls growing up in a high school, and
you don't have
you
to
clap back quick, and you come, and as somebody says something to you, step back to them, and who can go the lowest, right? How low can you go? But when you can, when you're in marriage, you cannot really.
If you love the person, it's just how deep you're going to cut. You have to learn to draw back the knife because of love. Love should stop you. Love, because if you're in that a relationship, you know every button to push. If it's an open, you know, friendship relationship where you know the person intimately, deeply, you know all their pain points. So when you're arguing, you can't bring those in the argument at all, because that will bury the person.
Because certain things you can't take back.
Right, right.
Also, we'll let either him or her shut down, and they will never communicate with you again because you have the tendency to throw it back in their face.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You violate them. You violate, basically, you have just violated their vulnerability. And them things are painful because tell you something in confidence, I will talk about it and it should not be used as a punching bag.
Yeah.
You understand? That's below the belt.
Throw it back.
Yep.
And so I think part of why I never clap back.
Exactly.
Come in a while, I go say something and then you can't take it back. You can't take it back. How could you do that? So it's not to be, there are people who are afraid of confrontation. It's not about being afraid of confrontation, because if you're afraid of confrontation, somebody's suffering. And most likely, if you do not speak up, it is you. And if you're in a relationship where the person shut down and no one listen to you, you need a third intervention, because you're not getting through to each other. You need help. And some men are not for the third party. Because what goes on behind closed doors, what happens in Vegas should stay in Vegas. But in marriage, we have a lady who's a... We have one of our queens who's from Africa, and we're going to bring her on one time. But let me tell you, she tells us that marriage in Africa is a community. It's the community's business.
I don't know if that one got that deep.
That's so much people. You. Let's keep it.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's coming from the motherland. She said it's their responsibility, and it's not in a bad way. It is the family's and the community's responsibility to keep you together. That's exactly how the Jewish situation is too. Everybody is committed to making sure that your marriage does not break up. That's how the Jewish culture is. That's what I learned from getting this opportunity to film these classes where women had their own marriage coaches. Once you get engaged, you have been assigned a coach who is an elderly woman who has been married for decades. Who is your partner to help you marry well? This is how Trina start up the team. It help you to stay married well. The community keep you together. Black people don't have that because we've been scattered to the winds. We've been scattered. We've been scattered to the winds in all kinds of different directions. They marry and stay together because it's the community's responsibility. If the couple stay together, the community is together, and it builds and grows. So it's their responsibility. So it's not our culture, but this is how they have made it work for decades. So they can stay well, married well. Because you can marry well by starting well, right, Trin? You can start well, but do you continue well?
We don't.
And that's the problem with quarantine. A lot of people got to the point where they married somebody they really loved. But they weren't able to transition when life gets, when changes come. Because you're going to always be changing, always be growing. There's always going to be a problem that you can solve together. But when one person can't try and one person give up, and so forth, it's very difficult to carry people on your back, right? So you marry not because you're trying to save someone, but so that two of you can build something together.
Exactly. That's true.
And some honor of savior complex.
Nobody's a savior except Jesus Christ. I heard that loud in my spirit one day. It is not your responsibility. You are not the Holy Spirit, Tina Matherson. I am. savior complex is a thing where you want to fix and you want to change and you want to enhance God's beautiful creation instead of accepting them the way God made them and praying that he would guide them into their next level. Because there's a way for people to evolve.
Build together.
And evolution comes truly when a wife can pray for her husband.
Hello.
It's not coercing anybody. It's not saving them. It's not saying, you know, you need to change this about yourself, da-da-da, and criticize.
Hello.
It is truly in the quiet space and not saying, God, change him. It's like, God.
Like, change him. Work
it's not it. That either. I did that for like literally 5 or so years. Jesus, you're praying for him to love like you love. No. I see change happen when I go to God and I'm like literally in quiet and I say, God, just like you got a plan for me, you have a plan for him. Help him to find it. Lead him to the people who can develop it. It's not about coercion. It's about, listen, God legitimately has a plan for your husband. Legit. Not your plan. His. God legit has a plan for your husband to prosper him, not to harm him, to give him hope and a future. He legit does. And the reason you are in his life is to help to pray that plan into fruition. But a lot of times, instead of praying, we complain against the plan and you don't take your issues to the Lord and say, okay, God, you have a plan for this man. You knew what you were doing before he was in his mother's womb. Guide him to where it is. I don't know what it is, but you sure do. And you'd be surprised. When was the last time you blessed your husband? Start today. Honey, I bless you. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are a lender and not a borrower. You are going up and not down. Babe, you are a money magnet. The light of God is all over you. There is so much good things you can say to your spouse that will take him off the floor and let him step into work like Superman. Your mouth alone can do that, ladies. And I'm gonna broaden this out because, like I said, this is not just a relationship for a husband and wife. Any male in your presence, your son, your brother, your uncle. Sometimes your voice, behind every great man is a woman. It's sometimes it's your voice that picks him up off the floor and helps him to know that he can fly. Your voice.
It's the only voice they hear that is positive.
Jesus. So use it responsibly.
Wow.
You can make him or you can break him. You decide today, ladies. There is life and death in your tongue. I tell my children all the time, there's the power of life and death in your tongue. Speak. Choose to speak life. Choose to speak life. And pick him up off the ground and see what happens. Different husband.
Different
husband. And be consistent. Different husband.
Yeah, there you go. Consistency.
As part of our self-discover challenge to you guys, we have on the Facebook page a love language challenge. And that is where we want you to go and fill out the, you know, just this few little questions. Very simple. That asks you about things that you prefer to do if given two options, which one is the one that you would choose most of all. So the love language test, it has one for couples, it has one for singles, it also has one for kids and another one for teens. I even let my 10-year-old son John, he did his, and his primary love language, just giving you an example, is words of affirmation. So let me read for you what a person who feels loved by words of affirmation, what it is that you will see with them. So it says, if words of affirmation is your child's love language, compliments, mean the world to them. Hearing the words, I love you, it is very important to them. Hearing the reasons behind that love sends their spirits skyward. Insults can leave them shattered and are not easily forgotten. They thrive on hearing kind and encouraging words that build them up. The test breaks it down in percentages. So what you're going to see, your highest number is basically how you receive love. Okay? So go ahead and do it. Singles, couples, bring your kids in, let your kids do it. It's for the whole family, you know? Let your mom do it because it helps you to realize, okay, you might be thinking that these people like to be loved a certain way when the truth and in fact you're not loving them the way they receive love. My two sons did the test and they have two completely different results. So as a mom, it helps me to figure out how to love them and communicate in their love language. Okay, guys?
I want to go back to the Marriwell theme in terms of financial, because so when people say Marriwell, or you know, a lot of parents want their daughters to marry well, quote unquote, they want somebody who can take care of their daughter. They want them to marry in wealth. They want them to marry somebody who will provide and their daughter don't have to struggle and they don't have to. But a lot of times, what you want for your child and what they get, yes, they get that, you know, that financial security, but they are unhappy. So what is it that you should be praying for your children? You have to be careful what you put out there, because again, words are powerful. So we want that security, financial security. Why don't you make sure that the child can be financially secure on her own so that she brings something to the marriage? A lot of times everybody want the man to provide. And yes, I might be speaking from the point of a mother of a son, but I'm also speaking from the point of if you keep wanting these stuff, you want him to be this, you want him to be that, what are you bringing? You want to marry well. When you come into how rich people keep their money is they invest. If you're a spender and you come into this well marriage, right, this union where he's well off and he's providing well, but you're just depleting his funds, that's not going to work. That's two opposites, because one want to grow wealth. You like the wealth that you see. You went, go in there and marry, but you are the spendthrift in the relationship.
You have not developed your wealth mindset.
You don't have a wealth mindset. Who you want to marry wealth so that he can take care of you, but you don't have a wealth mindset, then you can't grow together. Two opposites. Some people are staying in relationships because they're being taken care of and they don't want to live a lifestyle that they are not accustomed to. But they are miserable. And they rather stay in it because they prefer the lifestyle that they're in. But they're not happy. Antidepressant pills are a staple in their house. You have to want more. And wanting this idea of what you see, you know, it goes back to, you know, that image, that fantasy, that fairy tale of, you know, I don't have to work, or if I work, my money is just for me and I live this kind of luxury lifestyle. But you are lonely because the man works so hard to maintain his wealth, his good lifestyle, that he's traveling, he's working extremely hard. You become ships passing through the night. So you are lonely. You're stuck in this mansion. It's beautiful. Your Instagram pictures look great. Everybody liking your posts because you can travel here, you can drop this, you can shop, you can get the latest this. But if we look into your eyes, will there be darkness? Will there be sadness? Or will there be joy? Be careful of what you want and what you put out there and what you put on your children and what you wish for them and what you hope for them, because I'm telling you, words are powerful and what you put out there will happen. So put the good stuff. You want someone who would love your child. You want someone who will be Christ-like and have the heart of God, so that when they have the heart of God and then they love themselves, they can love your child. Male or female, they can love your child. And they will take care of your child. They will respect your child. Your child will be in a happy home because they're being showered with love. They're being showered with respect. And that's something money cannot buy. That, to me, is marrying well.
Talk up the ticket, Veronica. Somebody needed to hear that.
What's your version of marrying well? Answer that in a Facebook.
I've heard that statement so many times where people say, I can't be with this person if I'm not happy. I'm not happy being with them. I can't be around them because they don't know how to make me happy anymore.
They're missing something. So that responsibility is placed on a human being?
I think it's more than about being happy. I think if you're a miserable person with yourself, truly, no one can make you happy.
No one.
You can't put that upon another human being.
You cannot put it on another person. You know yourself best. Nobody else does, besides God. So, self-discovery.
If you are a joyful person at your core and you're not just pretending to have it all together, if you're a joyful person at your core, when you go around people, it shows. If you're a fake because you want to be a people pleaser, it also shows. Like, people think that they are pulling wool over people's eye because they have the biggest and the best and the brightest. But honestly, joy does not hide. It's contagious. Joy comes from connecting with a higher power. Like, that's the source of it all. Once him center you up and you connect vertically, all hell could be breaking loose wherever you are. It don't budge you. Because your eyes is not even on the situation anymore. Your emotions don't get caught up. We have a saying, Queens not the drama, right? When the drama come out of the woodworks, Queens not the drama. We have this saying that does that. I'm telling you, when your eyeball and your mind is completely elevated out of, like, onto what matters, onto your purpose, everything else felt so like nice. So you get to see the distraction from a mile away. You're like, oh, you see it. So I gotta get ready for move some people up, move some people out. Nobody can take your power and your light unless you give it to them. So bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, mothers and fathers, you still got purpose. As long as there is life, there is hope. You still got purpose. There's purpose in everybody listening to this. If you feel like you have lost your purpose, if you feel like you have no light, if you feel like there's just darkness around, we're here to tell you that a human being cannot give you what you're looking for. It's not going to happen. There is a complete, remember we were talking about this, Veronica? There is a complete, before you were in your mother's womb.
Yes.
Remember we were talking about this?
Love
before it. You were in your mother's womb, a complete plan was already drafted for you. All the days of your life was already numbered. Who even knew that? So all this time we're sitting here trying to put a plan together. It's so ridiculous. To put a plan together. Okay, I'm going to do this degree and I'm going to do here and I'm going to do there. At the end of the day, the Bible says, man will plan, but only God's plan will prevail. So something I discovered last year, like I used to, I told you guys I was a master planner of months at a time. So one thing I did discovered last year, people always have their vision board and they want to put up what their plan for 2020 was going to be. I did not do any of that. I said, Father, this is the one year I am not going to plan anything, because I read the Bible and it said all the days of my life is already numbered, and the plan, you have a plan for my days. So I went on this website that helps you to number how many days you have been on the planet. Oh yeah, the website is called timeanddate.com. But basically, when you go on that and put in the number of your days, it tells you, you have been on the planet for 4,677 days. How many hours? How many? Like, breakdown to the time, the seconds, the everything. And when I saw that website, I would pull it up and I said, God, for this 5,622nd day of my life, whatever your plan is, thanks for the download. Here's the scripture. It said, God's eyes could see you as an embryo, but in his book, all your days were already written. Your days had been shaped before any of them existed. So if you're miserable in your days, it is not God's plan. If you're dark, you can't see left to right in your days, you're not living in God's plan. And it's just for you to say, boy, I'm tired for plan now, yeah, God, can my plan them not work? Okay, I'm do this degree, I'm go here, some I'm go here, some I'm do this. Okay, I'm tired of my plans. What do you want to do now? And it's okay to surrender that. And when you surrender that, watch all the plans of God just come together.
Oh, boy.
Talk up the things.
Talk up the thing. The master planner.
Greatest planner.
Master planner.
Master planner.
Hear this as if God himself were speaking to you. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Lord, I pray for every listener, I pray a full surrender of their plan in exchange for your master plan. Begin to navigate their life. For those whose lives feel shipwrecked, empty, disconnected from you, guide them into your loving arms. Guide them to your heart. Guide them to your mind so that they can live a life on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms at The Beloved Queens.